Well, welcome back to ZA Confidential, a series of podcasts where we mainly visit the Cape and we mainly drink wine. And today, it's one of my favourites, a glass of red wine. But before we find out what's in my glass, I must just quickly go around the table and welcome our guest tasters today, Mike Schussler, well-known economist, Jeff Osborne from Gumtree Auto, and Chris Gilmore, writer, journalist, analyst, all sorts of rubbish. And the man who is going to tell us what we're drinking is, of course, our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, John. Yeah, today we're going to be tasting the Survivor Pinotage 2016. This is a wine that was in the top 10 of the APSA top 10 Pinotage competition this year. Survivor wines are made from Swartland Appellation grapes at the Overhicks winery, which is between Worcester and Ney. The grapes come from a single vineyard on a Swartland farm called Constantia, interestingly enough. And once the grapes get into the cellar, they're destalked and crushed, and then allowed a 24-hour period of maceration on the skins. This, of course, brings out more flavour, more colour, etc. Fermentation then took place, and the malolactic took place as well, and then the wine went into barrels. Some American, about 5% American oak barrels, and the remainder were 20% new, and the rest of them second, third fill barrels. So you have a serious amount of wooding taking place, because I think it's a fairly serious wine, and yet the oak just supports the fruit. We must remember that 2017 was the last year of the great drought. So there were problems in the vineyards, producing of smaller bunches, smaller berries, but that only really means a greater ratio of skin to juice in the fermentation process, which of course produces greater flavors. So on the nose, I think fairly classical Pinotage. You can get a good whiff of the supportive oak there as well. And then on the palate, it's just all about berries and a great acidity. So I think with the oaking, with good acidity, the lovely berries, and the tannin is there, but it's sort of putting on a cashmere jersey. So it's still they're very supportive of the wine, which I think is great. And of course, food-wise, you could really be looking at anything. One of the great things about Pinotage is that it is, and I believe this comes from the Pinot Noir parent, it is a wine that you can really almost drink with anything. So if you have a piece of seared tuna with a lovely marinade on it, that you perhaps post-marinate the tuna with sort of coriander, chili, garlic, ginger, little touch of sherry vinegar maybe, and olive oil. This wine would really stand up to something like that. But of course it will do all the Bredies and the Boulevorses and the nice sort of spicy, soft, sort of Cape, more sort of fruity type of curry.
Well, I'm enjoying it. Well, one very curious thing, and this happens a lot with wine, the first sip I took, I found it a little bit harsh, and I've been sort of swirling it around the glass for a few minutes, and it's actually toned down a bit.
Yeah.
That initial assault on the yes. senses has died down, and it's a beautifully balanced red, as you say, Michael, incredibly versatile. Mm. You could drink this on its own, obviously, but you could have it with all sorts of stuff. I'm just fantasizing about a nice cheese board. I know
yes.
you said in a recent tasting that You prefer white with cheese, but I think you can pair all sorts of stuff without being too precious about it.
Absolutely.
Chris Gilmore.
You know, in a previous episode of ZA Confidential, I said I'm not really a Pinotage fan, but I'm really coming around to it. This is awfully nice. I mean, this is terribly smooth. And all the berry flavors and, it's, as you said, John, first mouthful, a little bit rough, but now enormously smooth. Oh, I love this. Well, this is nice.
The first word that comes to mind, from my perspective, is superior. And I think it's very, very complex. And I'm generally not good at identifying fruits, but what struck me immediately is plums.
Yes.
It's very rich and extremely fruity. Mm-hmm. And as Chris correctly said, we tasted a Pinotage in one of the previous shows. And this is superior. I don't know what the price is. Don't tell us yet.
Okay.
Because you do it to us at the end. And that tends to perhaps influence one's view of the wine. But I think it's a very, very good Pinotage.
Yeah.
And I agree it would complement almost any meal.
Yeah.
It really is good. Yeah. I could drink a lot of this.
I think certainly plums for me. But for me, sometimes Pinotage takes on that sort of Pinot Noir, red berry, raspberry, strawberry, and there's nice blood plums that you get, you know, where the colour is right through to the pepper,
absolutely.
Lovely dark colour, and slightly tart.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. Mike?
I think this has got a very deep flavour, but the one thing I'd like to say, Swartland, to me, those wines that come from there, my local liquor store has some of those wines in their own label, and very, very good, all types. But this wine is certainly a superior, but I find that it's a deep wine. It's a complex wine. Mm. It's got something that you take and you've got to think what is all in here. And I agree with plums and berries and whatever, but the point is it's got a deep complexity to it.
Mm.
And it gives you something that I think very few Pinotages give you, and that's a deep, flavor. Mm. Complexity. It is a wine that will dominate very many foods. So this you have to have with a red or a meat, or you have to drink it on its own. But you're going to find that you're going to have strong cheeses with this. You're going to have a Gruyere or a Gonzella or a
Gorgonzola.
And then that's the wine talking now. But it is brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's just very complex, and we must just realize that this is not something you're going to have with a chicken sandwich or something like that.
Mike, one of the things about a Swartland wine is that the most of the vines are bush vines. Most of them are unirrigated. So already you have less bunches per vine than you normally would if the vines were trellised. And of course that 2017 vintage, it was really towards the end, or 2018, the winter of 2018 broke with the drought. So it was very much part of that whole drought thing, which of course again created smaller berries, less bunches per vine, so greater flavour.
Yeah. I do love this wine, and I do love the Swartland. I think it's one of our most undervalued, in money terms, good quality wine areas.
Yeah.
Michael, obviously when we do a wine tasting, we pour a little bit of wine into identical glasses and we glug it away. Of course, when we're at home, we can be a little bit more experimental. For instance, I would have chilled this wine a little bit more than the temperature at which it's being served. And maybe, I know some people find this is sacrilege, I might have thrown an ice cube into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, I'm wondering, we have chatted from time to time about decanting. I think this is a wine which might actually benefit from
when Jeff was talking. I think certainly chilling is something that we do quite regularly at home. I mean, either in the fridge or in an ice bucket for about half an hour or so. It does add to the enjoyment, and I think if you're decanting it, And, I mean, we have a very standard glass decanter that probably came from a supermarket, very simple decanter. And if the wine is slightly on the young side, we just glug it into the decanter. It aerates it, it gets the whole thing alive. And I think this wine would have benefited from chilling and benefited from decanting.
Of course, Jeff, you own a couple of horses, so you go off for a decanter every morning. but is that something you do to your wine?
The riding trot is about as far as I've been together. But in fact, I do. I have a crystal decanter, dare I confess it. Mm. And I do make a practice and a habit of decanting and also chilling. But what I in fact do is I leave the top out of the decanter. Mm. I have a theory that, that accelerates the breathing process. Mm-hmm. And I put it into the deep freeze section of the fridge for about 10 minutes. And it makes a huge difference.
It does.
What? Do you tweak your wine before you glug it back?
I'm listening and learning. And that's all I can say.
Chris, what would you like me to say that's so profound?
Well, you could get off your phone and tell us why. Tell us how you choose.
He's ordering three cases at the moment.
Well, let him.
As I said earlier, John, look, I mean, this really is a wine that I would seek out. It's a lovely, lovely wine.
Okay, well, thanks once again to our tasting panel of Chris Gilmore, who can now get back on his phone, Jeff Osborne, Mike Schussler, and, of course, Michael Olivier, who will give us his final thoughts and a reminder of what we've been tasting.
John, we've been drinking the Survivor Pinotage, which sells at R175 a bottle.
I'm John Fraser, and that was ZA Confidential.